Alrighty, City. Well, if you could please bow your heads and pray with me. Father God, we're so thankful for your grace and your mercy. Lord, I ask that you would just speak through me. I ask that you will just allow people, allow your congregation, allow your people to hear your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Nah, it's Super Bowl Sunday. It's Super Bowl Sunday. We got to be a little bit more hyped than that. Good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. I'm so happy to be in front of you all. I'm Winston Holloway. I am a member of CityWell. I'm a student at North Carolina Central University. Hopefully soon I will be a producer within sports broadcast in the near future. That's my career aspirations. So it's just sort of fitting to me that I'm preaching on Super Bowl Sunday. I see we have an Eagle fan in the back of the house there. I see he wore his jersey. But do we have any Patriots fans as well? Anybody root for the Patriots? Okay, there we go. I'm glad somebody's in the spirit. So I'm just so glad to be in front of you all. Pastor Cleve reached out to me a while ago to preach, and I really struggled with it. I took about almost 2 days to respond to him because I didn't know. I'm like, I'm not holier than thou. I'm just a student. I don't know what to say. God, me preaching, I have no idea about that. But little did I know from Pastor Cleve reaching out to me, God had been working in my life leading up until now. And I was going through so much. I was receiving so many different signals, so many different influences, so many different spirits were going on in my life. And I didn't know how to discern which one I should lead to. I didn't know which way to go. And so, you know, a lot of times when I debrief and try to center myself, I turn on the game and watch the game. I always try to turn to an NBA game or NFL game and just relax, be analytical. And so I'm going to get analytical with you guys for a moment. I know some of you may not be as well versed in football, but the quarterback is the leader of the team. He's the head communicator. He's the one that's going to push the offense forward. We're going to have two quarterbacks tonight, Tom Brady and Nick Foles, and I'm not going to mention their names anymore, but I'm just going to stick to the word quarterback. So a quarterback is really unique. First, before he walks into the field, he hears from the offensive coordinator in his helmet. He's going to hear the offensive coordinator saying, hey, look, we're going to run this play. They've been doing this. We're going to run this play. So as he's walking to the field, he hears the offensive coordinator. Then he looks onto his wristband. He might have a few plays there. He checks a play that might be a backup play. That might be a good play. Then he moves forward. He gets into the huddle. He has fellow teammates in the huddle, and he tells them, hey, look, we're going to run this play. A backup play might be this. I want you to go post left. I want you to go post right. And if that play doesn't work, we're going to run right, all right? But then his teammates might say, hey, look, I got a mismatch. Throw me the ball, or I want the ball. So then the quarterback has to take all of that. He breaks from the huddle. He goes to the line of scrimmage. Now, this is what separates a good from a great quarterback. A good quarterback won't be able to do these things, but a great quarterback will be able to do this. He'll be able to look out at what's in front of him, be able to read the defense, and make adjustments based upon what the defense is showing him. So if the defense is showing that I need to run left, he's going to run left. He might make an audible call to his teammates and say, hey, look, I want you to do this. I want you to do that instead. That's what makes a great quarterback. And I've noticed that that's one of my favorite things to look at during a football game, because there's so much communication. You don't really notice that. But in the helmet, he's getting a signal from his offensive coordinator. He's getting his teammates coming at him to do this. And then he goes to the line of scrimmage and he sees the defense. So I like to equate us to that quarterback, right? We hear from God. He might be our offensive coordinator. He may tell us to do one thing. We may look at what skills we have or what we think may be right and choose that play as well. But then our fellow worshipers, our fellow believers may say, hey, look, you might need to do this. You might need to do that. And then you go out and step into battle. You go to the line of scrimmage and you see what the opposition, what the devil is throwing your way. How do you respond? How do you lead? Which signal are you going to go with? How do you discern which is the right way to go? And how do you discern which is not the right way to go? So as you see, it's a lot to be taking in. And when you step to that line of scrimmage, you have to discern which signal, which voice, which spirit, which influence is going to lead you the right way. So God has truly been speaking to me over the course of the past 6 months. And I've had to be still and listen to him. Through listening and being still, I've had to discern which voice that I was hearing was of God and which voice was not of God. So I'm going to share with you today what God has laid on my heart about this matter. And during this time of preparing this message and also of just over the past 6 months, I've noticed that my relationship with God has gotten a lot more intimate, a lot stronger. And I wondered why does it seem like God is speaking to me more than ever now? And I realized that it wasn't God was speaking to me more, but as I was listening more. So in communication, I'm not a mass communication major, but a lot of my career experience is within mass communication and broadcast. And I've taken a couple of classes on the study of communication studies. And if you've ever been in any type of relationship, romantic relationship, parent-child relationship, professional relationship, communication is very, very important in that relationship. And more often than not, the number one contributor to conflict is poor communication. So that applies to our relationship with God. Amen? It definitely applies to our relationship with God. So I'm going to share with you a few different filters and tests that you can place to help you discern which spirit, which voice, which influences of God and which is not. McKenna read 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 earlier, and she did a great job. And I want to go back over that. And it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." I don't mean to get dark on you guys about the Antichrist or anything like that, but in order to believe in lightness, you have to believe in dark. And there are times when Pastor Cleve preached on it yesterday. Sometimes things will come out of you and you'll say, that's not of God. That's not what I've been, you know, trying to be. And that's sometimes that you've been influenced by the wrong spirit, by the devil. And so going back to that passage, I want to emphasize the words, test the spirits, because that's what God is saying to us today. We are to test the spirits that we will encounter each and every day. You can replace that word spirits with voices, influences, or even advice. Now, some advice that we receive from day to day may not be pertinent to what I'm talking about here. But on the other hand, some advice is, like, you know, who you should marry, you know, when you should have a child, what career path you should go on. Those are some things that you might want to discern if it aligns with you or not. So the first test is, does this align with the Bible? That's the first test you should put that spirit of influence or voice through. The Gospel of Luke chapter 21, verse 33 says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." God never contradicts his written word. Never. He will never tell you to do something that's against his word, and he will never tell you to ignore or disobey his word. He's not going to tell you one thing on Monday and then Tuesday he's going to say, actually, don't do that. Just switch it back. God is consistent. If you feel like he's telling you something different, it's going to push you in the same way. It might be a different voice, but it's going to push you in the same direction. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." So as you can see that right there, the Word of God, it's alive and active. It's living. And the Spirit of God is living through us too. So in order to have the Spirit of God in us, we have to be living and actively reading the Word. So that's the first test you want to do. God's not going to tell you to lie. He's not going to tell you to steal, murder someone, commit adultery. He lays out very, very, very finely about what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And you'll find that as you read more, God's will for your life is right there in the Bible. He tells us to treat others as we would want to be treated. Pray for those who we don't like. Be honest and obey his word. So any advice that goes against God's word is not from him. That's the first and most important test of all. Are the voices I'm hearing, are they consistent with God's word? Are they consistent with what I've been reading this week? Are they consistent with what I know is to be true? The second test is, am I going to become more like Christ because of this influence, because of this spirit? Am I going to become more like Christ? I'm going to delve into the word a lot here, so bear with me. I'm going to read it out to you. I like pulling from the scripture. So Philippians 2, verses 3 through 5 says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem of others be better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So essentially, have the mind of Jesus. Have the mindset that Jesus had. Jesus walked the same path that we walked. He was tempted. He was influenced. The devil whispered sweet nothings in his ear. And he denied them. So Jesus is a standard by which, you know, we measure everything we do. In fact, God wants us to be more like him each and every day by aspiring to achieve perfection. The Bible tells us in this passage essentially that we need to develop the character that Jesus had. Now you ask, what characteristics did Jesus have? I would say he had love, joy, peace, kindness, faith, and these are all fruits of the Spirit. These are all things that we know are tenets of our faith, or tenets of how we should live. But these are also our characteristics that God wants to see displayed in our lives. If we hear anything that doesn't make us more like Jesus Christ, then it's not of God for sure. He gives you ideas so he can be glorified. He doesn't give you ideas for self-promotion. He doesn't give you ideas so you can move along. Here's a secret that I would like to leave with you guys. If you're going to have thoughts that aren't pure, if they're impure, it's not of God for sure. God is going to give you pure thoughts. Jesus is pure. In the Bible, he's often described as wearing white. That represents his purity. That represents how he cleansed us from our sins. And that's God's goal, is to make you like Christ. So before you do anything, before you make a decision, when you're faced with a situation in your life, the second question you should ask is, what would Jesus do? That's very mundane and very, very elementary. I go back to elementary school when I would wear the JD bracelets. You know, what would Jesus do bracelets? And that's something that I used to, you know, wear around all the time just for fashion. But I now realize that, you know, that was really, really bold to be wearing that at such a young age. And I should have been paying more closer attention to that. Now I wear my active faith bracelet. It says, "In Jesus' name I play." It says that on there. And when I was younger, I used to have an attitude problem when I would be playing sports. I would get upset. I would, you know, throw a little tantrum. I would be that kid that if we lost, I'd be over there, you know, with his head down, you know. That was just me. I just was very competitive. I took losing very harshly. And so now I wear this whenever I'm working out or playing basketball or just with the guys, because it reminds me I'm doing this in Jesus' name. I'm doing this representing God. I can't be representing something and my actions display otherwise. So, as we move forward to the third one, the third test, this one is really, really applicable to where we are right now. This test is seek the counsel from fellow believers. You see, after you give your life over to God, everything changes. Your outlook is going to change on life. Your relationships are going to change. Jesus becomes your Savior. God becomes your Father. And other believers become your family. And you not only have a new relationship with God, you have a new relationship with other people, your believers, your family. And God never intended us to make decisions on our own. He never intended us to, you know, be by ourselves and just pray and only be by myself. I only want to think about this by myself because I don't want anybody else to know what I'm dealing with or what I'm going through. That's not what we should do. We're supposed to seek the counsel of our fellow believers. Right now, we're in a church, we're in a congregation, and this is a family. Church is a family. It's what it's supposed to be. You know, I think oftentimes we forget that God is our Father and we're his children. And that's a family right there. In my opinion, that's a family. And if we're all children, we're all brothers and sisters. So if I'm going through something, I should be able to reach out and seek my brother or my sister and say, hey, look, give me your opinion on this. You know, what do you think about this? What do you think about this relationship I'm dealing with right now? What do you think about this new career opportunity I'm dealing with right now? What do you think about this depression I'm going through right now? You know, what do you think? Help me out. God expects people to live in community. He expects people to care for one another. There are over 30 scriptures that tell Christians to care for one another. They say, love one another, encourage one another, teach one another, pray for one another. So that shows that we're not supposed to do that by ourselves. We're supposed to do that with other people. Proverbs 19:20, it says, I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. Proverbs has some stuff that will hit you right in the face, in my opinion. It's just full of wisdom. And that hits me really hard because oftentimes when I'm dealing with something, I don't want other people to know that I'm struggling. I don't want other people to see me at my lowest points. You know, I hold on to my pride. And, you know, right after pride comes a fall. That's in the Bible as well. But, you know, I still struggle with that and holding on to my pride rather than seeking out to others. So when I'm saying these things, I'm preaching to myself as well. But we should listen to our counsel and receive instruction, so you can be wiser in your latter days. And like I said, that's what our church family is for. That's what our family is for. And what I love most about CityWell is how diverse it is. A lot of people look at diversity and diverse situations with a negative connotation as something that we have to do or something that's, you know, required, or because of all this tension in the past history, we have to pay attention to diversity. I look at it the other way around. I love CityWell because it's multi-ethnic, it's diverse in socioeconomic status, race, sexual orientation, educational levels, and in my opinion, that's beautiful. Dr. Martin Luther King once said, it's appalling that the most segregated hour in America is 11 a.m. in the morning. And it is. I mean, you can't say that any better than that. It's really appalling because in my opinion, I don't think that when I go to heaven, it's only going to be all black people in heaven. I don't think that. I don't think that when I go to heaven, it's going to be, you know, a section for different races, different people of different educational levels, different socioeconomic statuses. I don't think that my house is going to be smaller than my neighbor's house. I don't think that. I think that heaven is perfect. I think that heaven is what we all aspire to get to. So that leads me to my next point. The next test you should put the spirit and the influence and the voice through, which is it consistent with my purpose? So we've gone through, does it align with the Bible? I'm going to seek counsel from my fellow believers. Am I going to be more like Christ from this? And now is it more consistent with my purpose? God designed each of us individually. We all have, you know, unique gifts. We have a personality. We have talents, abilities. We're all uniquely made, but we're made in the image of Jesus. But there's only one of you, and that's not an accident. That's for a purpose. And God outlines different scriptures of purpose very plainly in the Bible. He says in Proverbs again, he says, Proverbs 25, chapter 20, verse 5, he says, "The purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out." So we have to really search yourself on what your purpose is. If I know that my purpose is within sports and communication in some sort, I basically learned how to read from reading the sports section of the newspaper. I would check the stats each night. I would read the articles in the newspaper, and anything about Carolina or about the Panthers or about the Lakers, I was reading it in the News and Observer every single day. And that's how I expanded my vocabulary and was able to just phonetically pronounce words, because certain players would have a crazy name and I would watch the game and hear the announcer say his name, and I would look at it in the stat sheet and say, okay, that makes sense now. So I know from an early age that being within sports and being in the communication is going to be something that I want to do in my life. So you have to figure out what influences you're getting. Is that really going to align with my purpose of what I want to be or not? In the past 6 months, I went through a lot. I went through 2 car accidents, totaled my car both times. And I also, on Thanksgiving, on Thanksgiving, my mom choked. And I had to do the oblate maneuver on her to ensure that she would stay alive. And we rushed her to the ambulance, to the emergency room. And my mom is here today. So that was a very tough moment for me, seeing your mother, you know, your mother's life flash before your eyes. It was a very tough moment for me. And being able to deal with that, I really struggled. And my conversation with Cleve earlier this week, we talked about, you know, the challenges of life and how God would throw things at your way. And I wanted to be sure that I said said this to the entire congregation. The question you should be asking during your tough time is not, why did God do this to me? Why am I going through this? Why did God crash my car? You know, why did God end my relationship? Why did God give me a health issue? That's not the question you should ask. The question you should be asking is, what is God saying to me in this moment? How is God speaking into my life through this situation? There are plenty of moments in life where you'll feel low. But there are moments where you have to react and lean on God. That's the only thing we'll get you through. Hard times, they're going to make it difficult to see God's purpose, especially when we only feel pain and grief. Many times, we don't want to be reminded that God is working our difficulty for our good. We don't want to be reminded for that. We don't want to be reminded that it's a process. It's not just a start and finish. There's a start, a lot of in between, and then a finish. However, if we practice living our lives with the mindset that God is working things out for us, we can have a smoother transition of accepting this truth in the hard spaces. That's very profound for me. And I wanted to say that to you all because people throw around this old adage all the time that God gives his toughest battles to his strongest warriors. We're all his strongest warriors. It's just a matter of how we choose and what mindset we choose during that moment. The book of Job is riddled with harsh moments, riddled with, you know, challenges in his life. But Job responded faithfully by turning back to God in each and every aspect, in each and every challenge he faced. So in those low moments, sometimes we can feel down and feel, you know, really hard on ourselves. And that leads me to the next test, which is it convicting rather than condemning? Conviction is from God. Condemnation is not. Conviction points you in a direction that you need to change. Condemnation is going to make you feel bad. It's going to make you feel down. It's going to make you feel lowly. When God convicts you of sin in your life, it's always very specific. It's always going to be like, man, I know exactly what God is talking about. I know exactly what I need to stop doing. I know exactly what I need to stop saying. I know exactly that I don't need to talk to that person that way. I know exactly that I don't need to look at that person that way. And you'll feel convicted. Condemnation, on the other hand, is going to say, you're bad. You're a horrible person. You're no good for thinking that way. You're no good for acting that way. Those thoughts are not good thoughts. God's conviction is always going to lead to change, like I said. And condemnation, on the other hand, is going to make you feel hopeless. As we turn to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So should we ever feel guilty at times? Yes. When we mess up, when we know we blew it, we should feel guilty. That's the conviction. If you don't feel guilty after you sin, then something is wrong. Then you don't have a deep enough connection with God. As a Christian, as a believer, the Holy Spirit is living with inside you. And he's going to lead you and guide you. He does not want you to sin, and he doesn't want you to go along without knowing it. He's going to remind you. That spirit within you is going to remind you and tug on your heart to make you feel guilty and make you feel convicted. You see, your sin was paid for. Your sin was paid for once and for all. It was paid in full. It was paid down to the last penny. God doesn't hold a grudge on you. God doesn't want you to feel down on yourself. That's condemnation. He wants you to feel convicted and motivated and just have an initiative to change from your old ways, to change and turn from your ways that you're really struggling with. So is the voice that you're hearing, is that influence? Is that advice? Is that making you feel bad? Is that making you feel down on yourself? Is that making you feel like you stink, like you're worthless? Or is that convicting you? Is that motivating you to change? Is that motivating you to become a better person, become a better follower of Christ? If it's convicting, then fix it. That's the basic thing. But it's a basic thing to know, but it's much harder to do, right? Another test that I really want to extend to you all is, do I sense God's peace in this voice? Do I sense God's peace in this spirit? Do I sense God's peace in this advice that I'm receiving? My fraternity brothers in the back there, during college, another one of my fraternity brothers, he always used to say this one verse. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. It says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And that's so true. You know, he would always say that in a funny way to joke, you know, about all the time. If, you know, if we're running around, he would say, or if we're joking about something, he said, God's not the author of confusion. You know, he would just say that in a joking way. We would all laugh, but that's so true. He's not the author of confusion, but he's the author of peace. If you're feeling confusion about the voices you're hearing, about the influences you're encountering, then those voices most likely aren't from God. God's not going to confuse you. God's not going to, like I said, he's going to be consistent. He's not going to go against his word. What you hear may be coming from yourself. What you hear, what you may be feeling, may be coming from that negative spirit that's inside of you. So you have to discern which spirit to lend an ear to. There's going to be peace in your heart when you know the right spirit, the right voice, the right influences upon your life. There's nothing more vital in your life than hearing from God. Nothing at all. He made you so you could have a relationship with him. He wants you to talk to him, and he wants to talk to you. He's not here to play games and just let you, you know, fall by the wayside and do whatever. That if you do that, that's your choice. God is, he wants to speak to you and he wants you to listen. Now, if you remember, like I said, the number one contributor for conflict is poor communication, oftentimes. And I've tried to study good hosts, good announcers, good interviewers, good communicators per se. Their best quality is how they listen, how they're able to interact with who they're communicating with and respond with another question or respond, you know, in a relatable way that, you know, proceeds the conversation on. And that's the most important part of our communication with God and our relationship with God is how we listen. Are you in tune? Are you open? Is your heart open to receiving what God is saying to you? The secret to hearing God clearly is getting to know him better each and every day. When you talk to someone on a regular basis, I don't know if you, I'm sure everybody's going through that stage of you know, talking to someone you may like or a significant other or something. You talk to them each and every day, text them, talk to them on the phone, and if they call you, you recognize their voice because you've talked to them oftentimes. Do you recognize God's voice when he's speaking to you? That's a very, very, very important thing to wonder about because God will speak to you in so many different ways. It could be something as small as someone coming up to you and shaking your hand and saying, "It's good to see you." You may not even know who that person is. Or it could be something major like a car accident. Either way, God is speaking to you in those moments. When you talk to someone more often, you're able to garner a relationship with them. You're able to recognize their voice and they're able to recognize your voice. And if you become more intimate or more closely in relationship with someone, if you call them, they're going to pick up. If I call my mom, I know she's going to pick up. She calls me, I'm going to try to pick up. I'm joking. No, I really will try to pick up. And that's just how it is in people that you have a close relationship with. You try to pick up. Or if you call them, you know that they're most likely going to pick up. And if they don't, they'll call you as soon as they can. That's the type of relationship we should have with God. God shouldn't have to reach out to us over and over again and we just ignore it or don't even turn our phone on silent, turn our spiritual phone on silent. If you have a relationship with God, you talk with him daily. But not only do you talk with him daily, you listen to him daily. And in talking with him, you'll be led to read a lot more and more. Last year, one of my things that I really wanted to work on in my spiritual life last year was reading the Bible more. That's one thing I really didn't do before. I really didn't delve into the Word. I didn't treat God's Word as another class. I'm in school all day and I have classes, but I didn't treat God's Word as another class. And I feel like that's exactly how we should treat it. We should study it every day. We should read it every day. We should look at things that are pertinent to our situation currently, things that are relatable to what we're dealing with, what spirits we're dealing with, what influences we're dealing with, what situation we're going on in our life, and apply that. The last verse I want to leave with you all is John chapter 10, verse 27. It reads, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." That's extremely profound because if we're God's sheep, and he's our shepherd, just by the one note of his voice, we should go running. We should know that he's herding us in. So listen to God daily. He wants to speak to you. He wants to talk with you, but we must pay attention. We have to apply these different filters and tests to the different spirits we're experiencing every single day in order to discern if that's God speaking to me or is that just something else? Is that of the world? Is that, you know, the opposition? Is that the devil? We must listen. We must recognize his voice. These tests that I've shared with you will better equip you to recognize God's voice, to be able to notice when he's calling you, to be able to notice when I need to do this. I don't need to do that. I need to go this way. I don't need to go that way. God will lead you every step of the way. If you all could please pray with me. Father, this day I pray that I would build a relationship stronger with you. I pray that our relationship would be so close and so intimate that when you speak to me, that I will instantly recognize your voice, that I will instantly be able to discern your Holy Spirit, and that I would instantly be able to discern what is not of you. I ask that you will be with everyone in this congregation. Dear Lord, you led them here for a reason. They may not have wanted to come out on this ugly morning, this nasty weather, dear Lord, but you led them here. And I'm so glad you did, dear Lord. And I ask that you will continually speak to everyone in this congregation. I ask that you would just open our hearts, open our minds to be able to receive you, to be able to recognize your voice, and to be able to take heed to what you are telling us, dear Lord. We know we have fallen short. We know we have not always been faithful to your direction, faithful to your word, dear Lord. But we ask that you would continue to speak to us, and we will listen to you, dear Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.